Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. Time for the Bears Podcast with Mike Pusateri and Mike Prasnowski. Guys, how are you?
Doing good. Doing good.
Doing well after back-to-back division wins now, after not having any in the Eberflus era.
They're red hot. The flu says it's his first winning streak ever. Only took 2 years.
Very excited. Yeah.
That's great. So, Mike Pusateri, do you have some news for us?
I just wanted to mention, now that the strike is over, I can talk about some things. So, if anyone is interested, any of our loyal listeners, you can catch me on Amazon Freevee on the limited series Nova Vita with Dean Norris and Titus Welliver and. A bunch of other cool people. So
I've
check that
it,
out.
And I told you I was very excited that you did your own stunts.
I did my own stunts. So it's like too much away. It's like give too much away. So yeah, check that out. And it's on Freevee, so it's free. You don't have to pay for it.
All right.
There you go.
All right. You got anything to plug there, Prez?
Nothing as of right now, because the Cubs are not doing anything in the offseason, as it seems, other than the Craig Council signing, but when and possibly more safely should say if news breaks, me and John Oliva will jump right into the action. We'll be recording our podcast, Bums in the Bleachers, part of the Chicago Sports Bums Network. Check it out on their YouTube page.
What if Council is going to be a player manager? We didn't know this. He's gonna play center
field.
Okay. Or first base. He's taller than you think.
Can't do any worse than Pete Crow Armstrong did at the end of last year. So,
oh, come on. He was great. 19 at bats, hit a couple of foul balls, bunted three times, maybe.
Got thrown out a couple times.
Yeah, it was something.
Yeah.
All right. So, before we'll get to the Bears here in a quick second, I enjoyed the freak out in real time. It took 3 days, really, for Bert over at Bleacher Nation and other Cub people to completely freak out about the Ohtani signing. The first thing they tried to do was rationalize it when they heard it was 10 years, $700 million, was, well, that's just too much. The Cubs shouldn't do that. How can they afford that?
Right.
Which, of course, is horseshit.
Right.
Then they found out. Actually, right away, Jeff Passan was saying a lot of this is deferred, so it's not.
Yeah, he did say it right away.
Yeah, and he even said it's going to be like more than $40 or $50 million in AAV. And instead, they retweeted this guy who had gone through and he had figured out. He just pulled a number out of his ass that they were going to defer $10 million a year for, and he was basically showing how it really doesn't affect that much and big deal. Nobody should care.
Yeah.
Then word comes out that they deferred $68 million a year.
Yeah.
And he's getting paid $2 million bucks.
Right.
And then that sent him off. Then it was like, oh, my God, that the MLB should void the contract because the Dodgers are trying to just skirt around the luxury tax. And the sanctity of the luxury tax is in.
Right.
So now they're pissed. And it's Shohei's a scumbag. And the Dodgers are cheating. And this is awful. Yeah. And then we find out that The AAV comes to $46 million a year. That's what's going to count on the tax. Right. That's more money than any other player in baseball counts on the tax per year.
Right. Absolutely.
Yep. And so
and he offered like, that same structure.
Yes, to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there are people like, well, Shohei's an idiot then. God, why would he do this? What a moron. How's he supposed to live on $2 million a year? He only makes $50 million a year in endorsements every year. How's he supposed to, how's he supposed to live on that? And he's costing himself a bunch of money. Here's the part that I looked at it and I thought, this seems like, to me, like Shohei managed to get himself an extra $240 million by doing this. He basically signed, you know, people were like, he's going to make somewhere between, you know, they thought, maybe he can make half a billion dollars. He make, you know, somewhere around $500 million. With the elbow injury and the idea that he's probably not going to be a two-way player for 10 years, $46 million a year seems like, you know, that's a lot of money. It's the biggest contract ever. That's, you know, it's pretty good.
Pretty good.
He's getting that, but then he's also getting, because he's allowing the Dodgers to defer the money, he's getting an extra $240 million.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's not like he's – remember the Walter Payton contract? Where Walter got the $40 million contract, but it was like $1 million a year for 40 years from the Bears. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah. Well, it was like the Magic Johnson contract, too.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, Walter was dead. So
yeah.
His wife was collecting the checks towards the end. This show, he gets all this money before he turns 50.
Yeah.
He's going to get $700 million before he turns 50 years old. And because he, after he's done playing, he can move out of the state of California. He can go back to
I was just going
to
bring this up. Yep.
It's worth an extra, at least, this is if the tax rate stays the same in California and doesn't go up. It's an extra $84 million that he doesn't pay in taxes.
Right.
This to me doesn't seem like, and so here's the thing though, there's a lot of babbling to get to this point. I've heard people make the case today. I was listening to a Giants podcast. They were complaining about it. I was listening to the Cub fans complaining about it. And they're like, well, the Dodgers now have all this extra money to spend. They're going to go get Yamamoto, and they're going to get this guy, and they're going to get this guy. It's like, do we think that the Dodgers couldn't pay the 46, couldn't have paid him this year, and now they needed to save that money? It's like, no, they still have to account for that on the tax. They still have money. Mm-hmm. They could have done this. They were going to do this anyway. You know, stop getting mad at them for spending money. Get pissed at the team you root for not doing it.
Well, that's the point right there. Don't get mad at the team spending. Get mad at your team that's not spending.
Yeah. I mean, the Cubs could absolutely afford to have a payroll just like that. The Dodgers have been over the luxury tax 10 of the last 11 years.
Yeah.
All these horrible penalties that Cub fans will tell you, it's really smart for the Cubs to not go over the luxury tax, or certainly don't be a repeater, because then you got to pay extra money on all the money that you're over. Your first round draft pick gets dropped 10 spots, and you lose international money and you lose draft pick money. It's like, okay, well, the Dodgers do that. The Dodgers have the best record in baseball over that time. They've been to the NLCS 6 times. They've been to the World Series 3 times. They won it once. They have great players on their team, and they have one of the top 3 farm systems in all of baseball.
Right.
So
yeah, I'm sure the Cubs aren't just making that tenfold over and over again with the Winter Wonderland thing they got going on at Wrigley right now.
They're barely scraping by. I'm surprised they can even have I'm surprised they can cobble together a team.
Yeah, well, they probably can't even afford a Christmas tree this year. No. The Ricketts family house.
The poor guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that had nothing to do with the Bears.
Okay.
But I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Yeah.
So the Bears, now I will tell you this, I was impressed that they basically, you know, they had played so well against the Lions in Detroit, and they let the game get away. They kicked the shit out of the Lions for 57 minutes, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically picked up right where they had stopped at the 57-minute mark, and they just kicked the shit out of them again. And it was very enjoyable to watch. It's like, maybe it's just that's a perfect matchup for these guys. I don't know. But, I mean, the Lions are turning back into the Lions. We could see that. But they're still talented. I thought it was, I was impressed by the Bears' entire effort.
You have to think, like, when Ryan Poles, like, envisioned on his vision board or whatever, his dream, you know, Bears team, it looked like that, right? The defense was good. They got sacks. They got pressure on the quarterback. The offense played well. Fields played well. It was pretty much they dominated the entire game. Like, that's got to be like, he's got to be like, that's it. That's what I want. Now, you got to do it more than once is the problem. But that's, you would think that's how he wants the team to be all the time.
Like, yeah, I think
that was it.
I think they were really aggressive offensively. In hiring Luke Getsy, I think they thought that they would get a lot of plays in which you saw Rodgers run a lot where, you know, he would get the defense to draw off sides a lot. You saw the Bears do that finally this past Sunday on the 4th-and-13 play. That was very satisfying.
Yeah. I'm sure it's happened in my lifetime, but I don't remember it. And then play it off. What I remember is that when Justin first took over a quarterback, the play would get blown dead. It happened to him like 3 times where he got the other team to jump and they blew it dead before he could throw the ball. Like, it's like, oh. And then we just hadn't seen it. And then we saw it. Here's the best thing, right? The Bears had no intention of going for it there.
Right.
You know, yes.
Because 4-13, it was too far. Even with the penalty, they didn't want to. I don't know why. Kyro's always in range, but they weren't going to have range try it. This whole idea was simply, if we can get them to jump and we can get the ball snapped, it's a free play. And if it doesn't work, then we'll just have to punt. And it worked because it's the Lions. Right. It was great.
Yeah. They were very Lionsy that day.
Because I even heard, it was like, I saw a clip. It was Mark Carmen from Chuggo, and he's like, I don't know why they were even bothering to do that. It's like, well, it's like, I hate to tell you, Mark, that was actually what they were trying to do. I know it's odd that the Bears tried to do something and it worked, but that's exactly what they were trying to do. Because he couldn't understand, because it was still going to be 4th-and-8 and it wasn't going to matter. It's like, well, no, but here's what happens.
Right.
You can actually get a free play and it works.
That matter, at least in the context that moving him up 5 yards makes it a little bit of an easier kick for Kyro, though.
Well, that's assuming. I don't know. The thought was, and I think it was DJ who said he didn't think they were going to. They thought it was, they were, if it worked, but they couldn't get the playoff, they were going to punt. Because it was still going to be 4th-and-8 from I don't even know where. It was like a 50-yard touchdown pass, right? So it would have still been at the 45, which is a 63.
No, okay. Or 60. Never mind.
Well, here's another thing. In my whole life, I always added 17 to get.
Yeah, me too. This
is,
right.
Why is it 18 now? Is everybody has to be an extra yard back? Is this literally because defenders are faster and they're like, we need to get another yard. We're gonna get all these blocked. Like,
so I haven't heard
got his extra point blocked.
I have not heard it consistently 18. I've still heard it 17 a lot. Depending,
I hear 18 a lot now because I'll be like, well, it's 52 yarder. No, it's a 53 yard attempt. It's like, maybe it's just that the announcers can't add.
That's probably it.
Yeah, because I was always at 7 yards, and then you got to count 10 for the end zone.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like the good old days when Bob Thomas was missing 11-yard field goals because the goalposts were on the goal line.
Posts right there on the goal line. Yeah.
That was safe. Yeah.
Bob's like, it's just too close. I can't get the angle right. We're right in front.
Get it up.
Just kick it straight, dumbass.
Imagine what that would have been like at Wrigley too, with like the goalpost there and a brick wall right behind it too.
Well, that's probably why they needed it to be on the. They didn't have enough room. Well, then Purdue and Northwestern. No, it was Illinois and Northwestern found that out. When Purdue got to play there, when you were there, right, Mike? They had fixed that. You could go both ways.
Yeah. You could go both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just filled it in with.
But I like that it was the Illinois Northwestern game where they didn't even realize it till the game was getting ready to start.
Like, oops.
Like, there's not enough room there. They're like, oh, so what?
Yeah.
It's just a brick wall. That'll be fine. How bad could that hurt? And there's video, right, of Bronco Nagurski actually hitting his head on the brick wall?
I feel like there is, yeah. Definitely.
I think you told some, like, famous story about that one time on crap episode.
He, like, cracked the wall or something. His leather helmet. Lord. I think Julio Zaleta did it once, too. Oh, he was just pruning the ivy.
Yeah, there you go.
You guys remember that? The ball went in the ivy, and he's digging around for it, and he's literally just pulling leaves. Jesus, just stop it. The other DJ Moore touchdown I thought was just a legitimately cool play.
Yes.
Where they took Justin right before the snap, and he waved DJ over, and he went and he got in, like, the slot. And then they had him roll back towards DJ, and DJ was going the other way. And if you're the Lions, you really are kind of screwed. Because if you give it to Justin, he can either run it or you don't know. I mean, they could be, you know, he could throw it that direction. DJ keeps, plus then they got Braxton Jones out on the edge. I like that the two lead blockers were, like, the biggest guy on the team, Braxton Jones. And then the little, what is it, the little Keith Ortigo. What is his name? Something Taylor, right? I didn't even bother to learn the punt returner name. He finally had two punt returns where he ran forwards. He had a 15-yarder and a 35-yarder. Travis Taylor, is that his name? I feel like it's double T's. Doesn't
Let's
matter.
Go with that.
He's 100. Who cares, he's like 140 pounds, and he was the other lead blocker. He didn't have to block anybody, which turned out good.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a really cool play. So, yeah.
Now, wasn't as cool as the Chiefs play where there was the game.
I mean, just the fact that Travis Kelce tried that is amazing to me.
Amazing.
It is.
Because
yep.
it's not like, this wasn't like, there wasn't like 10 seconds left in the game. There's like a minute 30 and you're in field goal range. And he's like, hey, look, I'll just throw it to Kadarius. And he just wings it across to him. The thing I loved about that, though, was the tantrum
that the best.
Patrick Mahomes threw. And then Andy Reid threw one, too.
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, he was way offsides.
Yeah, it was not close. Yeah.
In fact, the referees even said they couldn't see the
ball. Couldn't see the
ball. On the line.
He was completely blocking the ball.
And Andy Reid was like, yeah, you usually get a warning. A warning?
So how does that mean if you do it late enough in the game, you just get a free one?
I don't understand. Like, so they would have said, okay, we're not going to penalize you, but you're going to have to redo the play, and here, this is your warning. That also would have screwed over the Chiefs. I didn't get what he was talking about.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like they threw the flag after the play.
Right, they threw it right away.
He didn't know before they have any indication that one of the coolest plays we've ever seen is about to happen. And then Dan Orlovsky had a thing on Monday where I didn't know the point he was trying to make. He showed video that Tony lined up like that like four other times in the game and they didn't call it. And I thought he was going to be like, look, if the guy hadn't figured out how to line up yet, but he's like, they didn't warn him any of those times, so how can you call it at the end of the game? It's like, I don't think that's... Right. So what? He just gets to keep doing it?
Yeah, like, I'm not sure.
I had zero sympathy for the Chiefs. It's like, no.
Yeah,
Blatantly offsides. If it had been like his hand
or his toe,
it was his whole foot. Like when CBS put the blue line up for the line of scrimmage, his foot is right in the middle of it. Like, he could not have been more.
Andy Reid was like, well, I don't know. I didn't get my protractor out as if it was close. Like, Andy, it wasn't close, pal.
It is funny, though. Mahomes yesterday was like, he apparently does like a radio show, and he had calmed down. And he was basically like, yeah, he was way off set.
Yeah. And Andy Reid, too. They're both like, all right, fine. You got it. Yeah.
And I guess it's true. They wouldn't have seen what we saw.
No.
When they were freaking out after the game. But it was just funny. Then they're like, you know what? He really was way offside. Dumb shit. I like, though, that when Mahomes first was throwing his fit, he was yelling in the general direction of Matt Nagy. And everybody thought he was screaming at Nagy.
Right.
And I'm like, well, he should. Maybe he was. It was clear to me, part of his freak out, though, he was yelling at the refs, but he really was yelling at Tony.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when, you know, this happened to me. So, like, when I was playing football, I would get yelled at all the time. And my coach one time called me in and he said, have you noticed I yell at you a lot? I'm like, yes, I have noticed that. I do it for two reasons. Number one, you screw up a lot. But number two, you always take it the right way. We've got other players that if I yell at, they can't handle it. They go into a shell or they get upset. So sometimes I yell at them through you. And I'm like, oh, well, thanks. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, pal.
And, appreciate being the team punching bag.
Right. And I kind of felt like that's what Mahomes was yelling at the ref, but he was really yelling at Tony for a variety of fuck-ups over the last few weeks.
Right. No, no doubt. No doubt.
That was good. I must say,
I've been enjoying this, like, Chiefs just little downfall, just because every time they screw up on offense, you get a great shot of Nagy on the sideline looking very confused.
It's a bust.
I mean, they finally had a game where they scored double digits in the second half.
Yeah.
They were averaging the fewest points in the second half of any team in the league.
Shocking from Matt.
Shocking to us Bear fans in his career, he got outscored in the third quarter by like 1,000 points.
Right. There's that long stretch from like 2019 to 2020 where the Bears never scored a touchdown in the third quarter of any game, right?
Mr. Halftime Adjustment. Yep. Oh, hey, by the way, are they not paying enough? Can he not afford a visor anymore? Because he looks awkward with that bald dome. He needs that visor to complete the whole douchebag look.
Yeah, maybe that's his.
Speaking of douchebags, how great did you watch the Thursday night game with with Pittsburgh?
Yes.
How great was it to see? I felt such nostalgia watching Mitch throw a boneheadedly dumb interception and then. And getting booed off the field by the home crowd. Yes. I'm like, oh, I missed this.
The fans were cheering for were chanting for Kyle Rudolph. They weren't chanting for Rudolph because Christmas is coming. They were chanting for Rudolph to replace Mitch.
He never sucked that low here.
I mean, Mitch has finally he's really paid off for the Bears the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He came in relief against the Cardinals and managed to lose that game at home for the Steelers. He got to start the game against the Patriots, who I did not think had a chance to win another game the rest of the season. And they're awful. And he managed to lose to them, which has given the Panthers now a 2-game lead with 4 to go over both of those teams. But very much like the Cubs wild card thing, they have the tiebreaker over both teams. So they really have a 3-game lead with 4 games to go.
Beautiful.
There is no way. I mean, it's basically it's like 94% or whatever that the Bears are going to have the number one overall pick now.
Yeah.
And Mitch played a big part in that. So
we appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
We thank you for your service, Mitch.
Who knew? Ryan Pace, he's playing the long game with Mitch.
Yeah. He didn't know it. Really is.
Really long game.
He didn't know it, but he was going to do it.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So Justin Fields certainly continues to make his case to be the guy for next year, too, I think. Speaking of, if they do have that number one pick, what are they going to do?
Well, I mean, if that's what the way they decide to go, then they can really load up again with that number one pick. Last year they got a haul for the number one pick without a consensus number one quarterback. I mean, it turned out C.J. Stroud was really good.
True.
You know, they still managed to get two number ones and D.J. Moore and a two.
Yeah,
you're going to have multiple teams trying to get up to get Caleb Williams or Drake May if the Bears decide they don't need either of those guys, which means you're probably going to get three number ones. You're going to get 24, 25, and 26 from somebody. How about this? This is crazy to me. The Bears are 5-8. They're tangentially still like in the playoff hunt, but if the draft is held today, they have the fifth pick.
Yes.
They have the first and the fifth pick.
Yeah.
So say you trade from one to three, you have the third and the fifth pick.
Right.
Right.
And you get your Marvin Harrison Jr. and boom.
Yeah. Well, is Marvin Harrison Jr. in most mock drafts, I don't really pay much attention to him. Is he slated to go third in most of them?
I think so.
I don't know, but he's up
okay.
there.
Yeah. I will say one thing I was really annoyed by yesterday was watching the games during the bye week after, you know, all the teams kind of around the Bears lost. You see the Bears factor into some of the In the Hunt graphics. You didn't see them on any of the In the Hunt graphics yesterday after a divisional win.
I didn't see any of the any Bears in the Hunt, so that's good spotted by you. I can't believe they actually put them in the hunt somewhere. Because I think they're at a one. I think I saw they're at a 1% chance to make the playoffs. The Bears.
Yeah, I mean they've got to win.
Right.
They'd have to win out, and that's not enough. There's other things that have to happen.
Yeah. As if they're going to win out.
You know, they play the Browns.
Yeah.
Browns, Cardinals, Falcons,
Packers. Yep.
With the Cardinals and Falcons at home, the Browns, Packers on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're probably going to win two of those. They're probably going to go 7-10.
Okay. Which, you know, that's why I had them.
Maybe that's what you had them. I think I had them 9-8, which they can still do.
Yeah, they can still do that.
I probably had them winning 10-7, out.
Too late for that.
Yeah.
Hey, I will say this. It sets up nicely for, you know, the Packers are right there in the middle of the playoff chase, yeah, just like they were last year.
Yeah, I thought this and, last night.
And, well, yeah, maybe. But, you know.
No, what you're about to say, I had this exact thought last night.
Oh, yeah, going into week 18, you know, the Packers were still alive, and if they had won, they would have made the playoffs. And, you know, Bears could, like we've been saying all along this year, they could be this year's Lions.
Right.
Not making the playoffs, but knocking out the Packers out of the playoffs.
Yeah. I will admit, for all their talk about being this year's Lions, they're a lot closer to being this year's Lions than I thought they were going to, like, a month ago.
Yeah.
And even to the point where they can go to, hopefully, I'll take a night game. I don't care. Fine. We'll just do Sunday night. You go into Green Bay on Sunday night and you beat them and then you win the division the next year. Just like I think the Lions are going to hang on and do. I can see that. I'd be cool with that.
Yep.
Now, if the Bears don't get Marvin Harrison, I want them to draft Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze. A, because I think he's really good. B, for some reason, I think that's a really cool name.
So that is a great name.
I would rather. Yeah. I'd still rather have Marvin. There are other. It's a good wide receiver draft. It's a good. So they can win. They can win a few games if they want the rest of the season. I'll allow it. As long as the Panthers continue.
Don't go crazy though. Don't go crazy. Yeah, win a couple.
Now, what if this happens though? We got Mitch came up big for the Bears. What if?
Yep.
The Panthers bench Bryce and they go with Andy Dalton. And he, they win three games with the red rifle.
No,
he has their only 300-yard passing game this year.
Oh, like, man.
He literally played much better in his one start than Young has played in any of his. But there, unless Bryce gets hurt,
right?
The whole idea is he's got to play, right? I mean, there was a play in the Saints game where Bryce tried to run. He tried, at the last minute, to run for a first down. And a cornerback, not even like a linebacker, a cornerback for the Saints, picked him up and like dumped him on his head, like out in the middle. He weighs like 150 pounds. He just picked him up and just dumped him. And I was like, how the fuck did you draft that guy first? I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But it worked out fine. I should have, if I was any good at this podcast, I would have pulled the numbers. Since Montez came to the Bears are top 10. And in fact, like 1 and 2 in a couple of like really important defensive stats. Like it's not a coincidence that they all, I mean, part of it is a coincidence. Their secondary got healthy about the same time that Montez showed up.
Right.
But they have a legitimately good defense now since he came.
Well, we talked about last week. You could also say they have a demonstrably better defensive coordinator now, too.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the FBI doesn't raid Flusa's house.
No.
As far as we know.
Milk and cookies in the Flusa and the Flusa house.
The other thing I think is happening, because it's certainly happening against the Vikings, and he played really well again. Jervon Dexter is like coming alive as we get late in the season. He had another good game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. Number one, he's a rookie. And it's going to take any rookie a while to figure out what they're doing. Also, I think now that they have Montez and Ngakoue, I feel like the line, because the Bears, the way the Bears' defense is structured, they're trying to get like a surge up the, you know, in the middle. They're trying to collapse the pocket from the middle. And when you only had one decent end, it's pretty easy for offensive linemen to cheap and help in the middle.
Right.
Well, now they can't do that.
Yeah.
You even have to put extra guys, you know, that even that guard has to be very conscious of Montez, you know. And so I think that certainly has helped. But it's been nice to see. And then on the last drive, when they had the two rookies in, they had Dexter and Zach Pickens, and they were just tossing the Lions around. It was great.
Yeah.
Well, they had Sweat lined up over the right guard. Wasn't the right guard for the Lions a backup?
Yep.
So they just took advantage of, like, the best player on defense against the worst player on offense there.
Yeah. Jaquan Brisker had 17 tackles. So what happens when he doesn't spend half the game in the blue tent?
Yeah. Well, it happens when you play the Lions, too, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate thing. The Bears don't play the Lions next week, do they?
No. If only.
No, they play Joe Flacco and the Browns.
That's right, the Flaxster. The Flaccarino.
The Browns have a legitimately great defense, and so that will be an issue. But on Good Morning Football today, I was watching this because I was getting ready to turn it off, and Scott Pioli, who I think is weird, was coming on, but he was going to talk about what the Bears should do with their number one pick. I'd say I don't agree with Scott, who thought they should keep Fields and draft a quarterback. And then they could decide later which one of them to trade. It's like, don't.
You need.
He did say, which I thought where he was going at the beginning was, you know, they have till April to decide this.
Yeah.
Like, nobody has to make a decision on anything right now. But he also was talking, now that I've completely lost my train of thought, what was the other thing that he said that I thought was so nuts? Oh, it was about Flacco. And he's 38 years old. Mm-hmm. And now this would be his fourth game. He's like, guess what he is now? He's sore. Mm. Like, you know, there's this perfectly rested quarterback over the first couple of weeks. You know, you're fresh, your arm feels good, right, your body right, feels right. good. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you've been hit for 3 weeks in a row, and now you're a 38-year-old quarterback who gets up in the morning and is like, oh,
yeah.
I'm 38. And I
heard. Yeah, good point.
So it'd be nice for the Bears to remind Joe that he's sore.
That would be good.
Early in all.
Where's Corey Wooten when you need him to end another career?
Now, do we think, I don't want to get too far and start talking about the Browns now, but do we think Justin will pass for more yards this time in Cleveland than he did last time when he threw for one?
I would hope so.
Is the over under 1.5 for Justin Fields passing yards? Because I'll take the over.
Ah, that's a tough one.
It was under last time, but it's going to be over this time.
Yeah.
He got sacked, what, 9 times in that game?
Yeah. There's a good article on The Athletic. It's Mike Sando's new article, and you got to get through a bunch of Mahomes stuff. But then he talks about Fields, and Justin has played 34 games now. So he's played two full seasons. So he showed his first 17 games and his last 17 games. And his last 17 games, he's thrown for 3,000 yards and run for 1,200 yards. He's thrown for 25 touchdowns. He's thrown 11 interceptions. The one number that stays consistent is he got sacked 61 times in his first 17 games. He's been sacked 60 times in his last 17. But here's the alarming thing about that. He hasn't been sacked more than once or twice for a while. So that is a reminder of just how many times he got sacked last year.
Yeah,
right.
Because this year, early in the season, we're getting sacked a lot. About the time he got hurt against the Vikings, when Bajan came in, the sacks went way down. Part of that was, I think, Tyson, and even the offense, they were just getting rid of the ball early. But more importantly, their line finally got put back together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Darnell Wright, who I think is really good. You know, he had some games under his belt. He played better. Nate Davis came back. Tevin got healthy. Braxton went on the injured list and came back.
Yeah.
So now they actually have a line, but it's still a reminder that up until just the last few weeks of his career, he was under siege every time he dropped back.
Absolutely.
And now it's not so much. I mean, it's still, you know, they don't have a great line, but they have a pretty good line. They have a terrible center. The worst. But other than that, they have a functional line.
Well, let's see how functional it is, you know, against Cleveland.
Yeah. I would play, can you play 10 linemen? Is that a thing?
Huh.
Might need that for Miles Garrett.
10 linemen and Justin. Is that, will that work?
Yeah. Just run the tackle eligible on every play. Yeah. Why not?
George has got some takes there.
Oh, my wife just came out, so they're all going nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was that was a good game, and I thought, and it's inevitable, right? So Mark Schlereth, they get, and Adam Amin both.
Right.
Leads 12 with like 7 minutes to go. And they're like, oh, remember they blew this the last time. I will say I wasn't worried this time.
No.
I was like, I don't think it's not happening today. This is, you know. I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, the Lions didn't exactly show a lot of signs last time that it was going to happen last time, and it did. But I really felt like there was nothing to worry about this time.
It felt in hand this time.
We learned this in 2018, and probably one of my favorite games from that season, that Jared Goff is not exactly comfortable in cold weather either.
Yeah, good point.
He did not play well either game against the Bears, which was fine with me. But so they're 5-8 with 4 games to go. And there's still a chance to finish with a winning record.
Yep.
Still a chance to hit the Vegas over-under, too, 7.5.
Right.
7.5. Man, I don't like those odds still. 6.5. Could you get 6.5? Can you still get 6.5? Probably not. All right, do you know who the announcers are for this week in Cleveland?
I have no idea.
It's a Fox game.
Fox game?
Yeah. And this was a game that originally could have been one of the three Saturday games. But apparently they didn't want Joe Flacco as a standalone game. So they got moved to Sunday.
Or one day less rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Chris Myers of marquee fame still with Fox?
He is, but thankfully. I think only when they have, like, extra games. You know, like some weeks, if you've got an extra, you get Chris Myers then. Otherwise, you don't get him. This is a... I got to double check because I'm doing enough memory now. I believe this is a Kevin Kugler, Mark Sanchez.
Okay. All right. But it ain't Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady. That's for sure.
No, but I'm sure they'll do almost all the games next year.
They probably will.
Do you know what the spread is?
Go ahead, Prez.
I'll say Browns minus, feels like, I'll say 7.5. Browns minus 7.5.
I'll say Browns minus 6.5.
It's a lot lower than I thought. The Vegas loves the Red Hot Bears. Browns 3.5.
Three and a half. Wow. Oh my God. You can't afford not to bet the Bears.
And the over-under is 37.5.
Oof.
That's
not a lot of.
There are a lot of low ones, though. Even
do we know the
Patriots Chiefs is 37.
Steelers Chiefs, or not Steelers Chiefs, Steelers Patriots this past Thursday was like 32.
Do we know the weather in Cleveland? Weather forecast for Sunday?
We can find out.
Got you right now.
Okay.
Oh, you're looking it up?
C-L-E. Yes, sir.
All right, what's the AccuWeather forecast, Press?
We have a high of 49,
ooh, balmy,
low of 41, partly wow, cloudy.
Oh, break conditions.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, got to take the over then.
Yeah, there's, that should be 60.
Yeah.
I thought somebody had a ridiculously low one at 30, but I guess that's not. 30. Falcons Panthers is 35. Chargers Raiders is 34. Oh, that's a Thursday. Oh, that's a great
Thursday night one.
Easton Stick starting for the Chargers.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Herbert's out for the year.
Awful. All right. So, who do you like? Who do you like, Bears, Browns?
Give me the Bears. Ooh. Give me the Bears to win and cover. They're hot. They're gonna get after Flacco.
So did you bet over? Did you bet the over under 7.5? Because I think if they win this game, I would lean them going over that. Because I think they win the two games.
I did preseason, and obviously, you know, by my preseason prediction, I thought they would go well over that, but still a chance. And you know, I'm pretty confident about winning the two home games against Atlanta and Arizona. Cleveland will be a big test here.
Yeah, I got the Browns. I'd say the Browns by a touchdown.
Yeah, I would take the Browns to cover just because I think the Bears' offense is going to have issues.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't expect Joe Flacco to you know, light up the Bears, however. I think it'll be fun. It'll be, I'll say this, I think it'll be a much more competitive game than the last time the Bears
were. Well, yeah, let's hope so.
That was, Nagy should have been fired at halftime of that game.
Yeah.
I'm just going to look quick and see if we can. Yeah. Justin Fields, six of 20 for 68 yards. 67 yards of sacks for a net of one. Oh, good God.
Well, it'll be fun, hopefully. There's a little bit more meaning attached. They're not technically...
Did you know the Bears had the lead at the end of the first quarter?
Really?
Did they?
3-0.
What was it? 6-3 or 3-0?
3-0.
3-0.
Their scoring drive was 5 plays and 24 yards.
That's a very Bears sounding scoring drive.
Was that Deshaun Watson starting for the Browns then, or was he still suspended at that point?
Yeah, he was suspended. So this was.
Or was it Baker?
Oh,
still?
It's pre-Deshaun. It was Baker. 19-31, 248 yards and a touchdown. Allen Robinson led the Bears with 2 catches for 27 yards. I guarantee you, since the '70s, that's not the lowest yardage total to lead the team. There's no, it's not even close.
Oh, no, I'm sure it's probably, yeah, no.
It's probably 35th lowest.
That's median. 27 is the median number.
Do we think the one net passing yard from that game is not the lowest either?
Oh,
We'd have to think about that. I don't know.
It wasn't an NFL record. The NFL record was negative. I don't remember now. I'd have to go look because we.
Is there some Jonathan Quinn game?
And then Huey and I talked about it. I don't remember this crap, too. I don't know that it was the lowest. They may have had a zero.
I think they got a zero on them, don't you think? They certainly have a quarterback that threw far less than 68 yards, you know, taking away sack losses. Yeah.
1972, they had 8 against the Vikings.
Was that Bob Avellini?
Jack Concannon, maybe?
Oh, here it is.
That here Douglas. It is.
Oof.
Oh, no.
November 22nd, 1981. Net passing yards for your Chicago Bears against the Lions. -20.
Oh.
Was that a Vince Fipsolini game?
Oh, boy. Who we got here? Oh, shoot. All it shows is the scoring. 1977, they lost 47-0 to the Oilers. They netted -16.
There you go.
And then, so the oh boy, this is really something. 1971 against the Broncos, they they lost 6-3, so they're in this one, -7.
Okay.
And then the 1 yard against the Browns is not the only time they had 1 yard passing in a game. December 3rd, 1972, they had 1 yard against the Vikings in a 23-10 loss. The fewest yards they had in a win came in 1955 against the Lions when they passed for 7 yards.
Wow. Oof.
I would have thought, like, the division clincher in 06 against the Vikings. I remember Rex Grossman had a quarterback rating in that game of like 1.3. I would have thought that would have been up there, but
was that against the Vikings?
Against the Vikings, yeah.
They passed for 24 yards.
Home game against the Vikings.
24. Yep. And how about this? Oh my God. They passed for 24 yards. He got sacked once for 10 yards. So they passed for 34 yards in the whole game.
That's amazing.
God. Yeah, this is the list is pretty impressive of Bear games under 30 yards. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Sorry to set us down a path here.
22, 23, 24. There's 25 games in Bears history where they pass for fewer than 30 yards.
That's amazing.
And a lot of them, I mean, it's not like this is like 1938, 1942. This is 1977. 1979, yeah, 1976, 1979, 1977. Oh, the 70s. My God.
Oh, those 70s. That was great football. Mm-hmm.
All right. So we got to look up this. Oh. All right. 1981.
That would have been Vince Evans.
We got to see who was playing quarterback in this game.
It was either Vince or Bob Avellini in 81.
That was against the
72 Cowboys. Would have been Bobby Douglas for sure. Douglas.
It's the Lions.
Douglas. Need more line stunts, Doug.
Yeah. Vince and Bob.
Yeah.
Vince was 4-for-19 for 21 yards. He got sacked 4 times for minus 39 yards. So Vince passed for minus 18. And Bob, 3-for-10 for 20 yards. Ugh. Got sacked 3 times for 22. So he was minus 2. And that's how you get to the minus 20.
This is the shit that we used to watch prior to the 85 Bears. So your fandom is coming in at the 85 Bears or afterwards. You've missed the 70s. Although I wouldn't say you've been missing it, Bob.
Where's total yards? Because it's, let's see, Peyton Resch for 37 yards and Matsui for 7. So that's 44. Mm-hmm. So they gained 24 yards total in the game. Oh, there it is. Oof. 4 first downs. Fumbled 3 times. And just to top it off, 9 penalties for 83 yards.
Wow.
Which was not as many as the Lions got, 11 for 104, but who cared? Because I guess that's the thing. You're the Lions. You held the team to 24 yards, and you won 23-7, but you only won 23-7.
Yeah, that's not that impressive.
Right.
Bears were 3-8. The Lions were 6-6. I thought that was a promising development for our Bears. Was the penalties on Sunday? They just let the Lions commit all the penalties, which was very nice.
Yes.
So, what was the total here?
Although there was the one
Bears 4 for
Fields
35.
Rush. There was the one Fields rush early in the game that just continues to not get called.
Yes.
When he slid and got hit after.
Yeah, he hit it twice
on those.
Yeah.
it's almost like he gets punished for being as strong and as athletic as he is.
How about sometimes. The fact that I liked – so there was a late hit on Mooney out of bounds that wasn't going to be called, and Khalil Herbert went over and, like, shoved the guy, and then the ref threw the flag.
Yeah.
Ref's like, yeah, I guess it was late. Because when he threw the flag, I thought, oh, fuck, it's on Herbert, but it wasn't. It was they actually called the late hit, but he did not appear to be in any mood to call it until Khalil went over and said, hey, dude, what are you doing? Bears have to call their own penalties, though, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else here before we...
Should we wrap it up?
Off topic from the Bears, but did you guys see that the Bulls are starting their own utility tunnel of fame?
Oh, gosh.
Wow. Really?
Well, I'll go... for the Rory Sparrow induction.
There you go.
I can't wait for Reinsdorf to somehow find a way to force Harold Baines into that one.
That's right. I'm surprised he hasn't retired number three.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to retire on all my teams. Jerry, that's not how that works. So where is it going to be at the United Center? Oh, probably we're never going to see it. I wonder if Michael Jordan will make it.
Yeah, probably not.
They said apparently him and Scotty, I doubt it'll be together, knowing how they feel about each other, will be the first two people honored.
Yeah.
Oh, first got to be, you got to be, Artis Gilmore's got to be leading the charge.
Yeah, too bad Tom Boerwinkle's dead. Yeah, it'll be fun when they get, after they get through the actual good players, because there are some fun. The Bulls have had some fun bums over the years. It'll be fun to see if they get in or not.
Or we'll see. Quentin Daly.
So I guess we're not. How far are we out from Cub Convention? We're about a month, right?
Oh, I guess
usually
a Martin Luther King weekend. Because you know the Americans treasure the Martin Luther King holiday so much. But at that, we will get the announcement of who the Utility Tunnel Hall of Famers are for 2024.
Ooh.
Ah, there we go. And
who did?
Well, this past year was Mark Grace.
Grace and Sean Dunstan.
And Sean Dunstan. Oh, your guy, Sean Dunstan. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed John Greenberg thought this is the same year. They've basically gotten out of it. You get past Grace and Dunstan, and you're pretty much at Sammy time. So it's put up or shut up.
They're going to find a way to put Steve Traxel for being like the guy with the most wins in the 90s into the Utility Tunnel Hall of Fame before they ever do Sammy. As much as I hate to say it.
Maybe they'll put Ryan Dempster and Sammy in at the same time, and then they'll only make a big deal out of Dempster and oh, sorry, ran out of time, Sammy.
Yeah.
But we put your plaque up, so that's good enough.
How about this? Maybe they put David Ross in.
Shoot me.
Just to salve the wounds.
I'm waiting for Marquis to announce that Rossi's coming on.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff has happened. Jim Frey got fired as manager, and then he was the radio announcer. Lou Boudreau came out of the booth to manage and then went back to the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It can happen. I just love to hear Rossi every day. That would be great.
Yeah.
What a guy.
I would have bunted there, Cole. Yeah, thanks, Ross.
So I don't know what they're doing.
It would be great, though, if we get a booth one day with both Ross and Joe Girardi just for to have the two guys there of, like, have it be the guy that was – Joe Madden was rumored to be replaced by, and the guy that Joe Madden was actually replaced by.
It is funny though that Joe does a lot of media.
He's
never, as far as I know, he's never been on Marquee since he got.
Yeah,
since,
never. Now that would be the get. Of course, Joe has no interest in that.
Now it'll be interesting. Mike McCarthy has had to. Maybe it was the emergency appendicitis. Maybe that was his. Oh, that's a different Mike McCarthy. The one from Marquee has stepped down.
Right.
And it would really be nice if someone else would come in there and look around and go, oh, all this shit sucks. We're going to change all this stuff.
That would be the best.
Because now I'll tell you,
there's a lot to change.
The moment I knew, like, I never was terribly optimistic that the Cubs were going to get Shohei ever. I mean, I thought it made sense, and they have the money, and they should have been able to make a better case than they did, but they didn't. But I'll tell you, the moment I knew for a fact that they weren't going to do it was when Bruce Levine reported that the Cubs basically had been told by some of the Cubs that signing Shohei would be worth $15 to $20 million in endorsements and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, it's two or three times that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, right, you're saying you don't have any clue how to take the most popular baseball player in the world and monetize him. So there's no way you're going to make a case to pay him $46 or $50 or $70 million a year when you think you can, you know. I mean, hell, we know that they sell Ian Happ glove for $400.
Right. Look at all the marketing they were able to do on Chris Bryant before he even made his major league debut, too. So, you know, Shohei's got to be way more than that.
Yeah.
You know, they would have been like, okay, Shohei, so if we sign you, you know, you got to be our guy on the Marquee Network. We want to interview. And as soon as Shohei hears all this, like, no, I'm not doing any of that stupid shit. I got my own routine. I want nothing to do with your network. I'm not being interviewed. I'm not, you know, we're not doing anything from Japan. Like, no, I'm not doing it. I think the Cubs are probably like, why not?
Shohei, I got a great deal for you here. How would you like $1,500 to do a Prevagen commercial?
Nice. And we'll defer $1,200 of it. So how about that?
We know how much you'd like to have your money deferred.
Hey, we like that too, Shohei.
So we're just going to do it.
Yeah, Dad taught us that.
To me, I thought the best thing was Carly made a joke about how, you know, Jason Hayward signed a $7 million deal to go back to the Dodgers. And he had a picture of him and Hayward. It said, this guy makes $5 million more than Shohei. And I was looking it up. I'm like, I'll bet you the Cubs have at least one deferred contract. And they do. And it's Jason.
It's Jason Hayward.
$5 million this year.
Yeah. How about this? David Bodie makes more than twice, or will make more than twice, what Shohei Ohtani makes next year.
This is it for Bodie, although he does have two options. I'm sure the Cubs will pick those up. God, that contract. It's just
an 18 million for option one and then 26 for option two.
Whoever his agent is. That dude, he earned every penny of whatever Bodie got him. I mean, this was a guy who was, it's one of those where the Cubs were like, to me, it felt like Theo was so frustrated he couldn't get an extension done with somebody.
Yes.
That he's like, hey, he's like literally like in the cafeteria in spring training, he looks up and he sees Bodie. He's like, come here. You want an extension? Sure.
Yeah.
All right, here's
one. Now that agent.
$5 million a year for the next 5 years. Okay. They spent the last two of them in Iowa, making $5 million a year playing in Iowa.
He needs to be in the Scott Boras Utility Tunnel Hall of Fame. That Bodie's agent.
Yeah.
The Dodgers have some pretty big deferred money on Mookie and on Freddie Freeman too.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have anything on David Price from the big contract he had with the Red Sox?
That's a good question.
Good question.
I mean, they have signed some doozies. But yet, it doesn't seem to stop them. Like, the Cubs signed one bad contract. When they got Hayward, it immediately crippled them.
That was it.
They no longer
couldn't do anything. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, 8 years, can't do anything.
Let's see. The only deferred money this year is they're still paying Justin Turner $2 million.
Yeah.
So I don't see Price. Let's see, what about next year? People are like, this is the Bears podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they talking about, this pitcher that's been retired for over a year now?
They owe Justin Turner $2 million in 2025, too.
Hmm.
He's done all right for himself. And again in 26.
Wow.
He's the only guy. It's only going to go here.
Turner getting it done. Bales.
No. That'll be it. But how about this? In 2027, they currently have three players signed. They have Mookie, Freddie, and Shohei. Seems like, seems like a pretty good trio to have.
Pretty ridiculous. You could build on that, I feel like. Yeah. Not so bad.
Here's who the Cubs have in 2027.
Nobody.
This
is just as good.
It is just
Dansby Swanson.
This includes arbitration guys. Here are the guys that are through 2027. Here's who they're going to be paying. Dansby is going to make $27 million.
Yep.
And then arbitration eligible guys, Michael Rucker, Keegan Thompson, Justin Steele, Seiya, and Jose Kwas. I snapped a little
bit. Okay.
And they'll be, and then they will owe Jason Hayward $5 million in deferred money.
They will owe Jason Million $18 million somehow in 2027.
All right.
All righty.
Well, thank you.
That's enough Jason Hayward talk.
We will tune in next week after the Bears' big win over Cleveland. And if they beat Cleveland, I think they have to move into the in the hunt graphic legitimately, right?
Without a doubt.
Exactly. They have to.
That's all I want out of this season. I just want to see them in the hunt for one graphic.
Die a
happy man.
We don't have unreasonable expectations on this podcast. Just get us in the hunt. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Many of us have herpes.
It's fitting. It's got to be done with one of the best games of all time. Just unbelievable. Got to congratulate the Dolan family.
I don't know. What's up yours?